This is Batgirl, and this episode of Legends of the Dark Knight features Stephen C. Phillips and Mike Blanchard.
Hello, and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this Bat-tastic episode are the dynamic duo, TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello. And Tara.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's good, thank you. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. This is the first episode of Legends of the Dark Knight in the new year, 2012.
Yes. It is.
What have you been up to, Steve?
Oh, not much. A little bit of adding new stuff to the site, new features. But yeah, pretty much I think that's about it. And of course, I've beat Arkham City more times than I care to count.
Yeah, you've beat it probably 10 times over at this point.
Oh, not 10 times, more like 3, and I've got all the skins of Batman, so
yeah,
I rule.
I have, you know, by the time December 15th of last year hit, I was like, screw it. I don't want to do anything for the rest of the year. But I still, you know, we still cranked out a bunch of Tooncast Beyonds. We cranked out a couple M-Wires. We got the big 4-hour year in review show done, and now it's just, you know, back to usual kicking doors down and taking names. What about you, Tara? What have you been up to?
Well, I just got off the last couple of weeks of my winter break, and now I'm actually working full time at a big news station here in Toronto called CTV. I'm working for a show called Canada AM. I'm in the newsroom, and it's part of my internship. I'm in my last semester at school, and instead of being in school, we have to do a 4-month internship in order to graduate. So that's what I'm doing.
Awesome.
Cool beans.
Thank you. That's actually what I started. It's actually today's January 9th. We're recording this, and I actually started today. And my first day was pretty cool.
Well, congrats on that.
Yes, congrats.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Continued good luck as well.
Thank you.
Alrighty then. So we will be right back after this with our first episode of the day.
Over here, Lucius. Bruce, it's 3 a.m. Couldn't this wait? I could have given you this stuff in the office.
Shh. Not out here. Come on.
phones are bugged. The office, the house, everywhere. He knows we're onto him. Daggett? Who else? You were the one who said he was trying to take over the company.
Yes, insider trading. But once you give these papers to the DA, he'll be under indictment before he can change his socks.
If I turn in the evidence, but I won't. You see, Lucius, the reason I want those papers is to destroy them. And now that you've brought them, we won't be needing you anymore.
Bruce, what's going on here?
Let's just say I'm accepting your resignation, Mr. Fox.
First up today is Feet of Clay, Part 1 and 2. A strange meeting takes place in an abandoned tramway station in Gotham at 3 o'clock in the morning between Lucius Fox and Bruce Wayne. Fox gives a suitcase full of evidence to Wayne, which incriminates Roland Daggett in a new legal scheme to take over Wayne Enterprises through insider trading. When Fox asks what Wayne plans to do with them, Wayne, with a sinister smile, says he plans to destroy them. And a group of armed henchmen appear from the upper levels of the tramway and try to kill Fox.
Oh, man. You so know that that's not Bruce Wayne.
No.
It creeped me out. Creeped me out the first time I saw it.
Big old, like, creepy smile on Bruce. He never smiles.
He never smiles, and when he does, run.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I like this two-parter. I thought it was an interesting story. I don't really have any qualms about it. I thought it was interesting how Batman eventually defeats Matt Hagen. But I mean, you know, the story of, oh, he used to be an actor and he had a face for everything and you could just, you know, you could put him in any costume and he could be any different character he wanted. And then as he aged, obviously his looks didn't stay with him, so he needed this cream that Roland Daggett has to basically keep him the way that he is. And sadly, he runs out of the stuff and Daggett, I don't know, something about he wouldn't pay the price Daggett wanted. And then they ended up getting rid of him by force-feeding him buckets of the stuff, and that's how he turns into Clayface. I thought that was really, really interesting. And Clayface is a really hard villain to beat, I would say.
Oh, yeah. In any medium.
Oh, yes.
If I say this, I mean, I'm a girl, it might sound weird, but... because I'm a girl, Clayface kind of grossed me out. And I know that's a totally girly thing to say, but Clayface really grossed me out the first time I saw him.
Yeah, well, he's going to gross you out even more once we get to Holiday Nights.
I've seen that too.
Yeah, we'll get to that way down the road, but...
I found him more disgusting in this episode than I did in Holiday Nights, to be honest.
That's because he's a big, nasty... slimy puddle of goo that can mutate in anything in here.
Yeah. That's true.
It's not like watching Mystique on X-Men. This is, like, way in the other direction.
Yeah.
That's true. He is definitely, for me, one of the nastier, like, most grosser-looking Batman villains.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Steve? What did you like or not like about this one?
Well, I like how the fact of how they originally poisoned him by shoving an entire vat of that thing down his throat of the Renew You.
Yep.
Basically killing him, but not really. Like yeah. Anything in comic book lore, they never actually die. They mutate by some weird cosmic event.
Right.
So... It's just I found it kind of interesting how he became all these different people. initially with the using it for small amounts, and then of course being a full body version of this nasty goo. But I'd have to say my favorite part is, despite the fact that this is kind of weird, where he turns his hands into metal, and where he completely loses it because Batman screws with him with a room full of televisions,
mm-hmm.
with all of his old roles.
Yep.
Which I thought was an interesting way to defeat him.
Yeah, it was. It was very interesting. I'm just looking at the cast list for this episode, this two-parter, and wow. Dick Gautier, Rodimus Prime from season 3 of Transformers, was Teddy Lupus. wow. That's so funny. And this is the very first appearance of Ed Asner in the DCAU as Roland Daggett. This is even before we see him in Superman the Animated Series as Granny Goodness, voicing Granny Goodness. So that was really interesting, hearing his voice as Roland Daggett.
Yeah, I definitely like any time Ed Asner shows up in his show.
Oh, yeah. And we can't talk about this episode and how awesome it is, especially with the casting, as far as the fact that Ron Perlman is Matt Hagen / Clayface, did an amazing, amazing job voicing the character. Of course, Ron Perlman, you know, is just an amazing actor in general, but also he just has one of those voices that just carries and that you remember forever.
Despite not knowing who the hell he was to begin with the first time.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Amazing voice work by Ron Perlman.
Yeah. Well, now you know. Knowing is half the battle.
Mm-hmm. The other half is red lasers and blue lasers.
Oh, God. Do we have any... Tara, did you have any other thoughts on this one?
Very interesting episode. It was interesting to see the origins of Clayface, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. As far as some trivia stuff here... according to Batman's All Points Bulletin, while on the lookout for him, Raymond Bell is 5'10", 170 pounds, and about 35 years old. I don't know why that's a trivia point at all. The poster in front of the movie theater that Hagen as Wayne walks by shows Hagen as a gangster in a fictional noir film called Gangbuster, a possible homage to Howard Hawks' Scarface. That would be very interesting to see a BTAS style version of Scarface. anything else we need to share about this one, Steve?
It's kind of interesting. They use a biblical phrase, feet of clay, from the Bible,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of interesting.
Yep.
And it's also the last time we see him until the episode Mudslide.
Yep.
Which, I kind of think that they underutilize some of the villains in this show and spend too much time on, like, throwaways. Whereas this one's not a throwaway.
Right.
But I think he would have been a good one to bring back a couple more times.
Yeah.
Than what they actually do later.
Yeah.
But overall, not a bad episode. I definitely got the whole movie vibe to watching them back to back.
Yeah. And the other thing is, it's not, you know, granted he only came back a couple of times in BTAS, but Clayface has been throughout the entire DCAU. He's shown up in other shows. Now, granted, once we eventually get to Batman Beyond, Ink is slightly Clayface-ish, but not really. They did take liberties with her and kind of making her similar to Clayface, but she's different enough where she's not a direct descendant of him. So that's also interesting.
Yes. So anything else on this one?
I think that's it.
Then we'll be moving on.
The There's your 2 cents. Now, what are you going to do to me?
Listen, I'm sorry, really. I had a bad day. Boss turned down my raise and...
Now look, my rude friend. We can't have people cursing at each other on the freeway. It's simply not polite. I'm just going to have to teach you some manners.
Please don't. I have a family, a wife, a little boy. Please, I'll do anything to make it up. Anything.
Anything, says you?
Uh-huh.
Okie dokie. Wallet.
Oh, sure. I don't have much cash.
No, please. Don't insult me. Charles Michael Collins. That's you. Lousy picture, though. Lousy. Address, height, weight, blah, blah, blah. Righty. Oh, chuckers. Here's the deal. I'll let you off if you promise to do a little favor for me.
Oh, okay. What?
I don't know! I haven't thought of it yet! You just toddle on back to your mundane, meaningless little life, and when I need you, I'll call. There? Good! Great! I'll be in touch.
Next up tonight is... Joker's Favor. Charlie Collins, a nobody with an ordinary life, inadvertently cusses out a criminal mastermind, the Joker. When the latter's getaway car cuts him off on the highway after a particularly bad day, the Joker runs him off the road and corners him. Desperate to save the lives of himself, his wife, and son, he promises to do anything the Joker asks, a promise that the Joker decides not to put to use just yet.
This episode was hilarious.
It was. The first thing. Yeah.
The first 5 minutes of it. Amazing.
Yeah. I'm hoping Steve will use the sub-main title music to intro this episode, because that sub-main title music was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the music in the beginning. Oh,
yeah.
Just
that was
totally
so awesome.
Made it. Totally made it. I mean, And the scene, the highway scene where he's like, oh my God, I just like cut off the Joker. And Joker's in his rear view mirror, and he's like, hey, what's up, buddy? Like, nothing's wrong, right? And then Charlie Collins is just all, oh, shit. What have I done? And then the funny part is I don't remember how many years later it is when Joker actually finally gets him to do his little favor. But I
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. And I just think it's funny the way it's introduced where he's like to Harley. He's like, yeah, this guy's just dying to do a favor for me.
Yep.
You know, and he like tracks him down. And then it's crazy. I mean, even the whole thing that he does with the commissioner and the whole blowing out the candle and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was just hilarious. I mean, Joker was really in his element here. That's for sure.
Yeah, he was. Steve?
I love any time the Joker shows up in any of these series, just because the Joker kicks ass. But I especially like the irony that just, you know, your everyday Joe Schmo's driving down the road and gets pissed off, gets a little bit of road rage, and basically swears at the Joker, and you know, who just happens to be driving down the same road, and it's just, I don't know, the whole situation is funny from the get-go.
Yep.
And even more funny is the fact of what happens later on when he calls in that favor, only to find out that the guy changed his name.
Yeah, the guy changed his name, he moved cities, and basically Joker has to bring him back to Gotham. And then at the end, Charlie basically flips on him and goes nuts. He's like, you know, and I thought that was a real interesting part of this episode, is when Charlie actually turned on the Joker and said, hey, You're crazy, but I'm even crazier than you are.
Yeah, he snaps.
Yeah.
He has a mental breakdown.
Oh, yeah, that's really funny how he plays that joke on the Joker and scares him to the point that the Joker's like, Batman, save me! And then then he throws the makeshift fake bomb over there and Joker gets pissed and Batman laughs at him.
Mm-hmm. That was epic.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah. And what's so hilarious about that, if I remember correctly, it was just a dry laugh. I mean, it wasn't even like a hard, you know, it wasn't like a, you know, a hearty chuckle. It was just, ha ha, you know, something like that, where it was so straight, just a straight face laugh that, and that's part of the humor because it probably hurts Batman to even laugh. To me, this is the BTAS version of It's a Wonderful Life. I know that sounds weird, but if you think about it, in the beginning, Charlie Collins is pissed at everybody. He's pissed at his entire life. Ends up pissing off the Joker, and then ends up getting tormented by the Joker. And by the end, he's more than happy to go back to his normal, ordinary, boring life.
And eat meatloaf.
Yeah.
I wonder what my wife is making tonight. I hope it's meatloaf.
Yep. What do we got for some trivia on this one, Steve?
Here's some production inconsistencies. When the Joker reads Charlie Collins' driver's license, he includes the middle name Michael. However, the name on the license is simply Charlie Collins. Or Charles Collins. There's no middle name.
Interesting. Let's see.
This episode marks the first appearance of the Joker, air date wise, and Harley Quinn. However, the first produced episode featuring the Joker was Christmas with the Joker, which was aired first.
Mm-hmm. And Harley's disguise as a chauffeur would later be used for Mercy Graves' design. Mercy Graves is Lex Luthor's chauffeur in Superman the Animated Series.
And when she disguises herself.
Right, yeah.
Again.
Right, yeah.
This is one of the few instances in the entire series when Batman laughs.
It is creepy when Batman laughs.
Yeah, it is kind of creepy.
You get this deep, not amused, so funny, like, tone going,
It's scary. Just like when Harley Quinn, I remember in one episode when he's laughing and Harley Quinn's like, I don't like it when you laugh. Stop it. I think. I'm not sure if that,
yeah,
that is an episode, right?
Yeah, that's an episode. He does it and freaks her out.
Yeah.
Rightly so, though. I mean, he never smiles. He never laughs. And if he does, you know something bad is going to happen. So you better get out of there.
But yeah, those are pretty much it as far as those are concerned. I like a lot of the Joker's comments, though, in this episode. One of the first being, now look, my rude friend, we can't have people cursing at each other on the freeway. It's simply not polite. I'm just going to have to teach you some manners. And then at the end, of course, where he says, stop, you're crazy. And then Charlie's like, I had a good teacher. Say goodnight, Gracie.
That was hilarious. Yeah. You don't, and I mean you don't ever swear at the Joker.
You don't even look at the Joker.
Don't even look at him. Don't even, like, go near him.
One of the greatest things about this series is, over the course of the series, even though it has no real continuity from episode to episode, but it has continuity with characters. And I really love the friendship and the trusting that happens throughout the series between Commissioner Gordon and Batman. Commissioner Gordon says, if anyone should be getting a testimonial, it's you. Batman goes, I'm just the night shift. You deal with this mess 24 hours a day.
Yeah, that is a funny quote.
Yeah.
I agree with that, though.
Very, very awesome.
So, anything else with this episode?
I think that's it.
And we'll be
moving
on.
I have one more point, Desai.
Oh, okay.
We can edit this. I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was just hilarious. So, good job.
Yes, and there'll be many more. Especially with the Joker.
Okay, bring him on, favorite
can I
character.
Stop this now? Are you done?
Yes.
I'm done.
Okay.
Almost there, Conway.
Just keep your eyes open. Something could still happen.
Spider Conway. Don't know what he's worrying about. He's only got the sweetest deal of the century. All he's got to do is make like a canary at the Crime Commission hearings, and he gets 10 years off his time.
It ain't him getting to the hearings that's got him spooked, Commish. It's somebody else getting to him before then.
There's a bomb in the boat!
Huh? A burning ship!
Remind me never to think of you as a good luck charm.
Next up tonight is Vendetta. That's all I'm going to say. No. Police ship escorts a very nervous convict, Spider Conway, which is a weird name, to Gotham Harbor. Commissioner Gordon is confused why Conway's nervous as he's getting an early parole in exchange for testifying against Rupert Thorne. Detective Bullock explains that Conway's nervous about someone getting to him before he reaches the hearings. It turns out that Conway's fears are well-founded, as a strange man attaches a bomb to the boat and kidnaps him in the ensuing chaos. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a throwaway one.
Pretty much.
I agree with that statement.
Yeah, this is... It's good. It's a good episode, but it's... Not one I can watch regularly.
I was bored during this episode.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, it didn't entertain me.
I like the fact that they introduced Killer Croc, but I think they should have used a stronger plot episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because this does not fit. I mean, yeah, it could be one of his side episodes after he's introduced, but it should have had a better introduction.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
Killer Croc's a great villain, and in later episodes, they give him more credit where he's due. In later seasons that we'll get into, when he teams up with Baby Doll in that one episode, that is a good example of where he's a strong character. But here in Vendetta, it really fell kind of flat for me. I'll be completely honest, it just didn't do that much for me.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see part of it. I mean, because they, you know, Bullock gets in trouble, he gets arrested, they blame him for everything. I mean, and that was what Croc pretty much wanted. So, I mean, I can kind of see that, but... And Croc is creepy as hell looking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he is.
Scaly looking wannabe villain from Ninja Turtles almost. That's just how he looks. But anyways, this was not as strong of an episode as what I would have pictured them using.
Yeah, no, not really. This one just kind of is meh.
Yeah, I have to agree. Your thoughts,
I think we can just end it there. Yeah. Meh.
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 I guess we should bring up some of the trivia, but as far as the overall discussion, I mean, there really isn't even that much trivia. I mean, the only thing is when Batman is going through the files looking for Bullocks, one of the files he passes is labeled Bates N, which is obviously a reference to the Norman Bates, the 1960 film Psycho and its sequels.
Nice.
Other than that, there really isn't anything here. Even the voice cast doesn't, the voice cast is pretty much every character we've already seen with the exception of Killer Croc.
And they did a good job voicing him. It's just that right. The episode is weak.
Yeah, the episode is very weak. So I think that's it.
Yeah. So with that, we'll be moving on to the final episode of the day.
Brian Rogers, he's a one-man offense. A repeat performance this weekend against that tough tech team all but guarantees Rogers a big buck pro contract.
Sounds like it's off to the pros for you, roommate.
Maybe, but he's right. The scouts will be watching me real close against tech.
Oh, no sweat. You'll dazzle them.
I hope so. Making the pros means I can help out my folks. Maybe even put my sister through college.
Time for Bozeman's bloopers, and boy, they were coming off the walls this week. Heavily favored middleweight champ Rudy Lovell set two new records, one for the shortest fight in history, the other for the 50-yard dash. Goalie Rick Gale came up with a novel way to defend his goal. Rather unorthodox, wouldn't you say, Rick? But effective. And here's top seed Chris Adams, making it look like she's in the wrong racket. Seriously, though, this was mighty puzzling behavior from some of our finest athletes.
I'll say.
Telegram for Brian Rogers.
Here you go.
Good evening, gentlemen.
This is weird.
Let me see. Dear Brian, best of luck against Tech, and remember that only a fool knows no fear. I'm betting on it. A fan.
As I said,
weird.
And last up today is Fear of Victory. In a dormitory at Gotham University, Dick Grayson and his roommate watch a sports newscast on a university football game. From the day before, the report ends praising Rogers' performance and his high likelihood of being signed by a professional team. Dick mutes the TV and echoes the praise. Rogers is a little nervous about Gotham's upcoming match and the importance the performance will have for potential scouts. Dick reassures Brian that he will dazzle them and throws them his football. Returning their attention to the TV, they're both... They report on a series of bizarre sports bloopers, several athletes, many of them odds-on favorites, they have attacks in the middle of their games, causing them to lose. That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is. The Scarecrow was in this. No, this episode it's throwing me off because the cast listing is listing the Joker as well, and I'm like, wait... I don't remember the Joker in this.
I think it's one of those hallucinations.
Oh, okay. That's probably what it was.
And that's why the Joker shows up, because, you know, of course they have to have Hamill in there for a minute going, ah, ha, ha, ha.
I find it funny that they have both Hamill and Tim Curry, because Tim Curry does additional voices in this. And Curry was supposed to be the original Joker.
Eh, they had to throw him a bone here or there.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been the same.
No, it wouldn't be.
It would have been creepy in a different direction.
It basically would just have been Megabyte.
It's true. Well, Tim Curry does a better job in a game called Dragon Age where he voices Arl Hal.
Yeah.
His voice suits that character more than I could see it for Joker. Because for Joker, I mean, you think immediately Mark Hamill, you think crazy. And Mark Hamill, I think, is the only voice actor who's really capable of portraying Joker's craziness.
Oh, yeah.
No one else could do it.
The other one that comes close is John DiMaggio, but that's completely different.
Yeah, because it's a completely different Joker, completely different animation style for Joker. So, you know, I mean, it's like comparing Nicholson to Ledger. They're two completely different actors, two completely different styles. And as Steve said in here, it's one of the hallucinations. I mean, really, this is where Scarecrow comes in, and this is where, you know, this is his moment to shine for this episode. I just have never liked Scarecrow as a Bat-villain. I mean, set aside all the fear and the horror aspects of the episode, I just don't care for him.
I'd say that he's a pretty good villain overall. I'm not a particular fan of him, but he does go out and accomplish what he sets out to do.
Oh, yeah.
He goes through so much character development throughout the series.
Yeah, and he also gets a redesign later, yeah, too, when we get, yeah, to New Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Which, boo.
Yeah, we'll get into that later on. But I like his original look, I'll be honest. I don't mind the original look.
Yeah.
Some of them they improved, but...
Yeah, so we'll get into that much later.
We can all say, though, we like him in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah. Yes. That's just creepy. But anyways... yeah, as far as this is concerned, this episode, I think it's funny how the Scarecrow just completely screws with not only the players, but also with Batman and Robin.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, they see the hallucinations of the Joker and just, you know, random other things, like, for instance, like the mutant football players. And
yeah.
It's like a bad acid trip. Basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, I'd be pretty freaked out if I saw that stuff, like, just appearing out of nowhere thanks to Scarecrow. I mean, whenever you see something about fear or nightmares or something in the title of a Batman episode, I think it's safe to say that Scarecrow is going to be in it.
Well, with one exception, which we'll get to much later, which is one of the best episodes of the entire series, Over the Edge.
Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting that to be a Scarecrow episode.
Oh, me neither. I watched that actually a week and a half ago, and that was a total shocker.
Yeah,
to me.
We will get to that much later.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the best episodes of the entire, best non-Joker episodes of the entire series.
We need a full hour to talk about that episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But this one, you know, I don't know. It just didn't grab me as I thought it would.
I do like the fact, though, in this episode that the chemical that they use, instead of just immediately causing fear, they have to get excited first.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes fear. And then I love, of course, the fact that Professor Crane, a.k.a. Scarecrow, had a decoy in his cell in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Which the Joker laughed at him for.
And nobody bothered to just go, like, actually into his cell, you know, and poke it and see if it's actually him.
Well, they do have corrupt guards in Arkham Asylum, as the game also portrays.
I know, they're stupid.
Yeah.
Not too bright. No wonder patients escape from Arkham Asylum all the time.
Yeah. What I find very interesting as far as a bit of trivia is... This episode for the title card, the music for the title card is basically it's the exact same music that plays on the Nothing to Fear title card. All the other title cards in the entire series have different music except these two episodes. Nothing to Fear and Fear of Victory use the same music cue for the title card opening.
Jumping into some of the trivia, I like the fact that... the name of the football team is the Gotham Knights, which also refers to the Bat Family.
Yep.
So that's another nice...
nod.
Nice nod there. I like that.
You know, Scarecrow's appearance is revamped from his original appearance, going from a sock puppet to more skeletal Scarecrow face. The producers still felt this appearance was not sufficiently scary, thus leading to a slight change for his next appearance and complete revamp for the new Batman Adventures, as we kind of already said. The Gotham Knights would play the Colonels again in Justice League episode Secret Society Part 2, where they are revealed to be a team from Boston. In reality, the Boston Colonels are not a football club, but a vintage baseball team. So, yay, Boston!
Boo.
Shut up.
Boo, Detroit. There you go.
Who cares? Scarecrow's tone of voice also changes with his new mask.
Yep.
Though he's still voiced by the same person.
Right.
My mask gives me super strength.
That's kind of creepy.
It's a reference to Little Karibo's Tristan from Yu-Gi-Oh, where he's like, my voice gives me super strength.
Oh.
If you watch it. It's
been so long since I've seen any of Yu-Gi-Oh, so.
Yu-Gi-Oh Abridged.
Oh, God, no. I only watched the original series. Anyway.
That's what I'm referring to. Sorry if that sounded creepy, but It had to be said because you made a point. You're like, his mask changes his tone of voice, so had to say that.
Yeah. Overall, this episode for me is pretty much a let go. This is not one that I, you know, even if it was a little, you know, it wasn't just your average football story, you know, oh, let's induce fear gas to the entire stadium. Even if it wasn't that story, I still wouldn't watch this one again. It's not one I can watch multiple times.
This one's not that bad. I mean, I'd watch it before I'd watch some other ones, but it's not one of my favorites. Although I do like the line the Joker says in this.
Which is?
The cowl is familiar, but I'm blinking on the face.
Yeah, that was a good line.
I like any time the Joker shows up, but they also had other nods in there. Poison Ivy, Two-Face, just showing up.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on this episode?
I think that's it.
Yeah, just to wrap things up, I thought this episode was pretty interesting, and to agree with what you guys were saying earlier about how maybe this wasn't Scarecrow's strongest episode, I think we're kind of seeing the same thing with Scarecrow in this episode as we saw with Killer Croc and Vendetta.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, a common theme between these two episodes where a well-known villain really isn't really shining the way he should as he does in later episodes. Maybe it's just because the series, I guess, it was still pretty brand new in these episodes. So I guess they were just, you know, fleshing out the characters and getting the audience accustomed to it. So maybe that's why we're seeing it like this.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty good episode. I mean, it's not one of my favorites, but I could tolerate it.
Yeah, I'm not a football fan to begin with, so I'm not that thrilled with the concept, but it's not entirely bad either. I'm fine with how it came out.
Right.
But there's a reason why certain writers don't return and certain writers do return, and I don't think this one returns.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
But, yeah, you can always tell one that's written by Bruce Timm or Paul Dini.
Oh, yeah.
Because they rule. But anyways, I think that about wraps it up, so we'll be right back after this commercial break.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today using promo code GeekCastRadio at Stitcher.com/GeekCastRadio or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Hey, Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind? That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kinda.
Yeah. Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right. Hey.
It's What's on Joe Mind. Every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFG1 Mike, Pecan Court Michael, and the Cybertronian correspondent Optimus Solo move on to Transformers Animated with Transformation Animation Podcast. 20 episodes covering all three seasons of the cartoon, the books, and the awesome toy line. We will also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped with GCRN's next Transformers franchise podcast. Transformation Animation Podcast, available on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Get your tap on.
Decepticons, transform and rise up.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, geekcastradio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on geekcastradio.com.
Hi, I'm Phil Lamar, voice of Green Lantern in Justice League, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
While we are here on this break from Legends of the Dark Knight, the latest episode, I am TFG and Mike, and joining me is Lupus Convoy. Hello.
Hello.
You might be wondering, why are we doing something in the ad break on Legends of the Dark Knight? Well, the Secret Origins podcast is really what started the Geekcast Radio Network down the path of doing DC Animated Universe podcasts. And we are about, what is it, eight months late in talking about this, but Jeremy Meadows had left us an iTunes review back on August 11th, 2011. We're sorry we are just getting to this now. It's all Lupus Convoy's fault.
Don't blame me.
Yes, it is. It's all your fault.
Blame the educational system.
It's all your fault. So here we go. Podcast worthy of the Justice League. It's a 5-star review. Thank you very much. Great podcast, guys. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad there are people out there that enjoy the DCAU as much as I do. In my opinion, I think there should be a DCAU film about the oft-alluded near-apocalypse of 2009. That would be kind of awesome. Like I said, I love the podcast, but I have to disagree with you guys on a few things. First off, I love Booster Gold. Sorry, dude. Booster Gold is the worst superhero ever.
You know what? He's fun in the online game.
In this episode, my opinion was really fun. I also think Epilogue should be watched after the final episode of Batman Beyond. Finally, on a side note, I believe it was Man-Bat, not Batman, who flew by the police blimp in the first episode of BTS. Yes, you are right. I did misspoke, but I misspeak about that. What I meant in Epilogue, it was mirroring that first scene on Leather Wings in BTAS, meaning that at the end of Epilogue, when Terry McGinnis's Batman flies by the helicopter, it was homaging that original opening scene. Minor quibbles aside, your show is great, and I'm sad that it was over. Thanks for the great podcast, and I look forward to Legends of the Dark Knight, Jeremy Meadows. So thank you very much to Jeremy. Very, very awesome of him to be doing that, giving us that review. I miss Justice League. I wish Justice League was still going.
Are you getting affixed through Young Justice?
Not really.
Really?
No.
My God, I'm loving it.
we could talk about that later. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the latest review for the Secret Origins podcast. We had said that we would talk about any new reviews we got through Legends of the Dark Knight's ad block here on Legends of the Dark Knight. And I'm going to throw it back to Steve, and we will see you next time.
See you guys.
My word, sir. I should think, after all this, it would be time to rest.
Look,
A piece of clay left behind when they took Hagen's body away. Watch.
Electricity has no effect on it.
Exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if the body they took to the morgue was only a shell. Don't forget, first and foremost, Hagen was an actor. He said it himself, Alfred. He called it a scene, maybe the greatest scene of his career.
See you around, Matt.
A death scene so real, it fooled us all.
Hold it.
Oh, come on.
I said hold it. You miserable little nobody. If I get caught, your wife and son are history. You're not getting caught. Not this time. I found this blown out of the van. This is how it ends, Joker. No big schemes, no grand fight to the finish with the Dark Knight. Tomorrow, all the papers will say is that the great Joker was found blown to bits in an alley alongside a miserable little nobody. Kind of funny. Ironic, really. See, I can destroy a man's dreams, too. And that's really the only dream you've got, isn't it?
Look, Charlie, you've had a busy day. All this running around, all this excitement with Batman! Stop! You're crazy!
I had a good teacher. Say goodnight, Gracie.
No! Batman! Batman! How long have you been there?
Long enough. Put it down, Charlie.
You know he'll just escape again. This is the only way my family stays safe.
All right, you win. Take it easy. He has everything on his blasted family. Names, addresses, it's all there.
You're no fun anymore, Charlie.
Hey, Joker. Gotcha.
Oh, very funny. A million laughs.
Go home, Mr. Collins.
Home? I never thought that could sound so good. I wonder what Bonnie's making for dinner. Right now, anything would taste great. Even meatloaf.
So, we're back.
Yes.
Yes. Final thoughts on the episodes today. Mike, go first.
No, Tara's going
first.
I'll
go first. That's fine. I don't mind going first. Ladies first, as they say. I really, to be honest, out of these couple of episodes that we discussed, I have to say I really liked Joker's Favor the most, and Fear of Victory comes in a close second. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier on in the recording, Feet of Clay grossed me out, but it was a good episode. Joker's Favor, hilarious. Vendetta, meh, as we said. And Fear of Victory was just interesting, but again, Joker's Favor takes the cake for me out of these couple for this recording.
Yeah, for me, it's the Feet of Clay two-parter and Joker's Favor. The other two are throwaway. I mean, Fear of Victory, it's an okay episode, but it's not one, you know, it's not one that I'm going to say, fuck this episode, I'm never watching it again. But at the same time, it's not an episode where I can say that I can watch it every so often. It's just not an episode that I even care about, is really where it is. So, but yeah, Vendetta is just throwaway. It's a horrible introduction for Killer Croc. And yeah, Feet of Clay and Joker's Favor are the two of the day. What about you, Steve?
Well, I'd obviously have to agree that Vendetta is the bottom feeder of this episode today. The most memorable part is the title card with the word Vendetta and Croc in the shadow. I'd have to say my number one of the episode would have to be Joker's favorite, not only because I like the Joker, but because there's a nice prank on the Joker done by just the everyday person that you just don't get to see again because he gets more ruthless later on. So that was quite nice to see that. I'd have to say it's kind of a toss-up between Feet of Clay and Fear of Victory for me for the number two and three spot. I just can't decide one way or the other. Feet of Clay does have a lot of good storyline in there. And Fear of Victory does have some nice moments with Scarecrow and some of the features in the episode. However, there is a lot of cannon fodder in that episode, so yeah. It's kind of a toss. But I might say Joker's favorite wins out.
Yep. Agreed.
So, anything else?
That's it.
Tara?
That's it for me.
Alrighty. Thank you for joining us for Legends of the Dark Knight. If you'd like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. First, you can visit the Instagram where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Call the voicemail line or join it. 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. Be on Facebook by searching Geekass Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter at at LOT Dark Knight.
Why don't you just redo the entire thing?
Just redo it, man. This is gone. Just redo it.
Tara, let's both go on mute so Steve can just redo it.
I know,
himself.
That's what I'm saying. Just redo it.
Until
other
we have to come
Twitters
up.
Have to come in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just like do it, redo it.
Yeah. Join us tonight. If you'd like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. First, you can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us call or join the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. Become a fan of the Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow us on Twitter at LOT Dark Knight. My Twitter is 21. What are you?
Mine's TFG and Mike.
Tara Blair.
Join us in The Clock King, Appointment in Crime Alley, Mad as a Hatter, Dreams in Darkness, and Eternal Youth. So for now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with
TFG and Mike.
Tara the Rising Star, a.k.a. Batgirl.
Saying any immortal words of Batman, I'm Vengeance, I'm the Night, I'm Batman. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?